Have a seat. There are hymns and there are love songs. Hymns speak of God's mighty works of redemption and love. Hymns carry our thoughts to the highest places in the voices of choirs with lofty music and sacred sounds. Hymns share in flowing melodies the theology of our ancestors and the hope of the reign of God to come. They showcase technical genius, poetic mastery. Hymns are prayers that we can memorize and recite and sing whenever the need arises. Today, however, we get a love song. Love songs are ways of expressing our response to the love that we receive. They bypass the mind wherein theology presides, and they emanate straight from the heart. Love songs find their meaning not in clear, systemic explanation of the Godhead, but from that gut feeling that moves us intuitively. Those gut feelings don't need rational organization because they connect all humanity together in a common experience. Love songs allow us to voice our inmost unguarded selves and do so in a way that is in itself an expression of dignity and human value. We can argue with the theology of a hymn, but a love song is undeniable. Today, we hear Mary's love song to God after God's proposal in what is the apex of the human-divine relationship. Mary's love song is not so much an assertion of her faith in God as it is a thanksgiving for God's faith in her. Her song expresses her realization of her innate value, the value that she is for all humankind. The Magnificat is not a submissive, passive response, but a powerful witness to what God can do in us. The Mighty One has done such great things for Mary that every generation will know about it. No one knows the realities of life as a 12-year-old girl in first century Palestine better than Mary. Her entire being is subject to the whims of pretty much everyone, and none of them have her best interests in mind. Like ordinary livestock, Mary's value in a family lies almost entirely in her ability to bear children. We know that Mary has many attributes that make her a powerful character in the Jesus story and in the eternal human-divine relationship. But back then, those potentialities would have been neither encouraged nor supported. Who among us can imagine what it's like to receive the daily messaging that you're just not good enough? That your contributions to the family, to the community, and to the world are simply not valuable, however necessary they may be. Perhaps you know what this feels like. It's disheartening, to say the least. But in this lowliest of places, God steps in and flips everything upside down. Here is where we see the nature of God through the eyes of the last and the least. Mary counts herself among the ranks of the lowly servants, at the mercy of the rich and the powerful and the proud. And yet God chooses her to bring salvation to the world. God could simply have spoken Jesus into existence, just as God spoke the universe into existence in the beginning with, "Let there be light." Or, if we consult the gospel according to John, Jesus already existed. So why not just have Jesus enter the scene without explanation? God chooses not to do either of these things. instead. God takes a girl that the world would cast aside and not only validates her, but places her at the pinnacle of importance for all humankind, for all time and forever. It would be reasonable for readers of this story in any time in human history to imagine young Mary looking out at the world and perceiving it as tiring and uninspiring and unkind. But then, like sunshine that breaks through a rainy day, everything changes all of a sudden and unexpectedly. Not just for this one person, but through this one person, countless others will also experience God's divine care for us. When I listen deeply to the words of Aretha Franklin's iconic song, I can't help but sense young Mary singing the harmonies along with Aretha. This is a song about simple redemption turned into eternal joy. Discarded into the lost and found bin, out of sight, out of mind, as they say, the singer places her social location among the lost and forgotten. Not valued enough to keep safe in the first place, not valued enough to be returned directly to her right place in the world, whether anyone goes looking for her is no one's priority. But then, someone does go looking, and everything changes for the better. For those among us who were able to imagine what life is like to be regularly devalued, have you ever had the experience of suddenly being celebrated? To be seen, sought after, cherished, valued, and loved is what today's gospel lesson is all about. What did it feel like for you when you were in love? Did your heart swell with the knowledge that the person you just happened to be and all the things you just happened to do are held up as a unique treasure by someone else? When was the last time you felt so good inside that you found yourself humming a little tune? Did you know that that little tune is actually a prayer? It's true. They say that prayer does not emanate from humans, does not originate from us, but that prayer is the human response to a conversation already initiated by God. When we pray, it's actually an intuitive response that wells up from our hearts, from the depths of our souls. We know that prayer transcends logic and rationality. Mary's prayerful response to God is expressed in a song of thanksgiving. We call that the Magnificat. And it's remarkably similar to the response that Hannah sang in the first book of Samuel when she experienced God's similar uplifting of her. Mary is so caught up by God's overwhelming love that she can't find the words to say herself. So she sings Hannah's song. Have you ever been so moved by something so beautiful that you just didn't have the words? That the best you could do in that moment was to respond with a love song that you once heard? Because only a love song can express what you feel inside. If you know what that feels like, why not share that feeling with others? Just as Mary does with her family today. Take a moment today to let someone else know how valuable they are, how appreciated, how important they are to many other people. In these last few days before Christmas, when we're all in a hurry and we all don't seem to have enough time for ourselves, much less anyone else, in these last few days of Christmas shopping, consider how hard the shopkeepers are working to make sure they have enough for everyone. Cashiers, baristas, bakers, all those who are regularly overlooked because there's something on the other side of them that we're actually looking to get at. Take a moment to see the person standing in front of you who makes it possible for you to celebrate a Merry Christmas and let them know how valuable they are. Today, we get to share in the joy that Mary feels. We are the recipients of the gift that she herself was to all humankind in every generation. Mary is an example of how much God loves and values all of us. No one is worthless. No one's innate value is unimportant to the rest of us. It's the human flaw to disregard the dignity and attributes of other human beings. Where others may look at our capabilities and regard them as not good enough, God tells us that not only are we good enough, but our unique attributes are necessary for the world. That's not just good news, that's the best news. What we experience in the Magnificat is not simply a prayer set to music to make a hymn. No, it's far more personal than that. Because God came and claimed her, Mary knows exactly what she's living for. The Magnificat is Mary's love song back to God, a response to the one who sees past what others would set aside, to the person she is with her dignity, integrity, and attributes that are deeply, divinely valuable to the whole world. To our sister, Aretha Franklin, with all due respect, I would argue that Mary is the original Queen of Soul. Mary sings on our behalf for all of us who have ever been disregarded, unappreciated, or overlooked. And she sings soulfully today of what it's like to be recognized, cherished, valued for the beloved human being she is. And the beloved human beings you are. Today is all about how we might express our acknowledgement of the abundance of God's grace and love for us and for one another. This is, after all, the Sunday in Advent we designate as love. Sometimes we sing hymns about that. Today, we get a love song, and that's the good news.